Hallelujah. His faithfulness has been great. Hallelujah. He is always faithful. Father, you are always faithful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. We worship you and we honor you. Hallelujah. Stand up and sing with me. Praise the Lord.
Oh, great is thy faithfulness, oh God, my Father.
Faithfulness.
come and do what only you can do, Father. Hallelujah, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah, just open up your mouth and worship him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, you are great. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We worship you this morning. We praise your name. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God. We worship you.
Father, with thanksgiving we come. We bow ourselves before you. We worship and adore you. You are Yahweh, Jehovah, the self-existent God. You preceded all things because you are the I am that I am, the ever-present God. There was not a time that you were not. You created even time. Lord, we give you praise that you, the God who was and is and forever will be God, that you are our God, our keeper, our healer, our deliverer, our peace, our joy. You're all things to us. And there's nothing that we can do or say that will satisfy your expressions of love towards us. There's no way that we can recuperate. There's no way that we can compensate. There's no way that we can even be thankful enough. For even the breath that we use to give thanks, you gave to us. We are because of you. And we thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings. As pitiful as our thanks may be, thank you, Lord, for accepting it. Thank you for loving us. In spite of all of our frailties and our failures and our disappointments and everything else, we honor you, Father, the best way we know how. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. So many started this year with us that are no longer here with us all around the world. Here we are on the last Sunday of the year, able to lift up our hands, walk, do whatever, all because of His grace and His mercy. We have much to give God thanks for. He's been very faithful, loving and kind to us. I know He has been to me. I've been greatly helped by the Lord, directly and indirectly, with and by people. Because when God ministers to us, He does it through people. He moves in our lives through people. And I celebrate every one of you who have, in one way or the other, been a blessing to Mama and I, our family, and to this ministry. Those that have served selflessly, gone the extra mile to get things done so this gospel can be preached. I cannot thank you enough for what you've done It hasn't gone unnoticed. Even if I missed it, God did not. He did not. And the rewards of the Lord shall indeed benefit you and your family and all that's important to you. For that is also important to the Lord. Praise God. Tonight I want to continue talking about the irreversible blessings of the Lord. This morning we were looking at Numbers 23, verse 19 and 20. Actually, we started from verse 18, where it says that Balaam took up this parable and said, "Rise up, Balak." The name Balak means one who destroys, is a destroyer. That's what that name means. He says, "And hear, hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor." And he states, "God is not a man that he should lie." What a statement. God is not a man that he should lie. That statement basically says that man lies. Man is prone to lying. And God is not that. Why do people lie? They lie to cover their weakness. They lie because they are afraid of consequences, of judgment. They lie for myriads of reasons. Some people are just habitual liars. And the Word of God says, God is not a man that he should lie, act like a man, basically. God is not a man that he should act like a man who lies. You lie because you're incapable of doing something and you make promises that you know you cannot fulfill. I'm not going to mention the tribe. It's a particular Nigerian tribe that loves doing business. A very good businessman. And if you came to this particular individual and you asked for a stylus pen like this one, can't pop it, whatever, a pen, and he doesn't have it, he'll say to you, "I have it. Just wait here. I'm going to get it for you right now." He doesn't have it. He'll go find it somewhere and bring it. Reason, he wants your business. Whether he makes money from it or not, he wants your business. He wants you to be satisfied. And these guys, if something costs $10, or you bought something for $10, he might make a profit of 50 cents or a dollar and sell it at 11, while other people are selling theirs at 15. And before you know it, he's made so much money and he's buying more stuff. And the other guy who wants to make the profit right now is still struggling to sell his one. Meanwhile, this guy is selling his, and people are going around and telling other people he's advertising, and his market is going on steady. Astute businessman. He doesn't want to fail. He lied to get things done, but that's not God. God doesn't lie just to make sure that you're satisfied. He has whatever it is you need. He's well able to satisfy my every need. And as Paul said, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God is not a man that he should lie to do anything. Neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent, change his mind on stuff. Why? He knows yesterday, today, and forever. He knows everything. So whatever decisions he makes and has made, knowing all the details. Knowing all the details. So when God says to me, I bless you, it's not because of what he saw me doing now. It's because of everything else. The good, the bad, the ugly. He just decided, I'm going to bless you. And he doesn't change his mind about that. He says the gifts of God are without repentance. So when God chooses a man or a woman, it is in spite of all of their frailties and their failures, past, present, or future. So when I come and I judge that man, I am playing God. And David was mad. He says, I'm not going to touch the anointed of God. I'm not going to say one thing. No. I didn't call him. He stands and falls before God. So I'm not messing with that. Why? Because as soon as you step in there and you start making judgments about that person, whether they are good, they are bad, they are whatever, you are playing God. You are saying, God, you see, you were wrong. You made a mistake. The Word of God says, he is not the Son of Man that he should repent. He does not uncall the person. He's called them. That's why a man of God can be a total mess, doing the wrong thing. And it seems like God is still using him. Doesn't make sense to me. I'll dump him. God says, I don't make a covenant and back off of it. I will discipline. God will discipline. God will chastise. God will rebuke the ones that he loves. But he does not repent. It's not the Son of Man that you repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? And had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God is committed to making his word good. It doesn't matter what the devil is trying to do, what you are trying to do. He'll make his word good. I made a promise. I keep my promise. I will be there. And so this morning we talked about the water on the pipe, your plumbing system. And we talked about the fact that if you had a hose and it was close to the tap, but you don't connect it, the water is still there. If you opened it, it will run, but the hose would be no good. The hose is the extension so that it can impact other lives, other things, far beyond the source point. God in his commitment to you and I will be there like the water in the tap. He promised. The price has been paid. There is no payment due that has not been covered. So the line is not cut. The water is there. The blessing is there. Because God promised it. The Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 2. It says that Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. The satisfaction. He paid the price of salvation for everybody. So in the sight of God, every man, every woman on this earth is declared saved. However, if you don't connect to it by confessing the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you're lost. But as far as God is concerned, everybody is saved. Everybody. He paid the price for the salvation of everybody. Everybody. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. God is not a man that he should lie. Nor is he the Son of Man that he should repent. Did he say it? Then he's going to do it. Has he spoken it? Then he's going to make it good. Now, the context of this particular statement was that a prophet called Balaam, who describes himself as a man who sees visions while his eyes are open. He was not a Jew. And his name simply means not of the people, basically. I'm not of the people of that group. However, God reached him, and God will speak to him, and God will minister to him, talk to him about spiritual things. And it was well known all around that this man was used of God. So Balak sends an emissary to him to have him come and curse the people of Israel, because the people of Israel are going through the land. And he says to the guys that came with all kinds of nice, fanciful stuff, let me go talk to God first. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. And God speaks to him. You can't go. Those are my people. You can't curse them. So he comes to these guys and tells them, the boss says, no. Even if you give me the whole world, I'm not coming. Sends them away. Balak sends another bigger team to come convince him. To come. He says, let me go pray again. But God told you not to go. Now you're asking to pray about it again. Cut a long story short, he plays this game, and finally God says, okay, you know what? Just go. But you only say what I say and do nothing else. So he mounts on his mule, his donkey, his ass, whatever you want to call it. And he goes with the princes of Moab. And as they were going, an angel of the Lord is on the pathway at a spot where he cannot go left or right. And he's there ready to kill him. The same God who told him, you can go, sends an angel to behead this guy. The prophet that can see cannot see. But he's been sitting on his ass for so long, the anointing of the prophet has come. Has come upon the donkey. So his ride is seeing visions, and the guy who's supposed to be anointed is blind. We become blind when we lie to ourselves. Greed blinds you. Covetousness blinds you. And lo and behold, the ass that now sees is more loyal to his master than the prophet was to his master. And the ass falls down. Balaam is so upset. He begins to smite this ass with his staff. And now God opens the mouth of the ass and he begins to speak. What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. Your donkey is talking, and you're not shocked? You're talking back. That's the foolishness of sin. It makes you totally unaware of what's happening. He says, if only I had a sword in my hand, I would have killed you. And his ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass? Upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever want to do so unto thee? And he said, no. In essence, have I not been loyal from the very day you took ownership of me? Have I not stayed loyal to you? And now the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. He saw drawn in his hand and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Your way is perverse before me. You're corrupted. But Lord, you told me to go. Yes, I told you to go, because that's what was in your heart. You were saying you don't want the money and all of that, but what was in your heart was the money. You're a man and you lie. He says, the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. I would have killed you. But that this animal would have stayed alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned. For I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. What? What? If it displease thee, You were just told I was about to kill you. And now you're saying if you're upset with me going, I'll turn back. Of course, I tried to kill you, didn't I? You see, when the stronghold of greed and sin has taken hold, you still want to negotiate things. When you find yourself trying to negotiate yourself to doing the wrong thing and making God come into agreement with your nonsense, you know you are out of the way. You know what? But how many times do believers do this? Want to negotiate with God and bring God into their corruption. God, it's okay. My sin, it's okay. I'm not the only one doing it. It's okay. I will ultimately get married to her. That's the plan. But right now, I cannot help myself. It's okay. No, it's never okay doing the wrong thing and trying to excuse it one way or the other. It's never okay. Well, you know, God, the problems are so much. That's why I need to do some weed to just calm myself down. I need some booze. I need this. I need that. Lord, you created the herbs. It's just a herb. It's called marijuana, cannabis, whatever. It's a herb, and you told men to eat the herb, so I'm smoking the herb. Yes, Mr. Heavy. The excuses we make. If you're upset with it, then I'll go back. No, I've been upset with it all this while. So the angel says, okay, since we're still having this, go with the men. Go with them. But only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to him. Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able indeed to promote thee to honor? Why didn't you come all this while? Am I not able to elevate your life? Promote you? Sit you in a high place of honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I'm come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? I don't have any power. The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. I'm going to say what God says. Does it? So Balaam and Balak go out there. And he says to Balak, you know what? Build me 7 altars. 7 represents the number of completion, and let's have an ox and a ram for all the altars, and then I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to hear what God has to say. So he goes, they set up the altars, they slay the animals. Balak, the destroyer, is sitting with the princes of Moab. And he goes off to talk with God. He comes back and he begins to prophesy. And his prophetic declarations were a blessing. on Israel. Balak is upset. How dare you? I called you here to curse them. And here you are blessing them. He says, okay, let's go to another area. Maybe from another position, you'll be able to curse them. And they try another position. And still, the blessings are coming forth. That's when he made that statement. God has blessed them. I cannot reverse it. I cannot change whatever God has decided to do here. The blessing is theirs. Then they go to a third place. Again, seven altars. This time he doesn't go back to pray. He just opens his mouth and begins to prophesy about end times, the place of Israel, and how God was going to use Israel, and how there was a king in their midst, and on and on and on and on. And Balaam or Balak loses it, says, I'm going to kill you. You better leave me now, man. Leave here. Because you're dead meat. If you keep on staying here, I'm going to kill you. But Balaam was so much into getting something out of this journey. Please listen to this. This is very important. Don't miss this. The enemy, Balak, and in another sense, Balaam, were up in the mountains looking at the people of Israel in the valley. The people of God did not see them there, did not know what was happening in the distance. From the distance, they wanted to speak curses on them, but God intervened. Please hear this. God intervened from the distance. The curse was not possible. But Israel lost out. I tell you where they lost out. The 24th chapter starts out with this statement. Actually, 25th chapter, rather. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Say, Pastor, what did you want me to see? From the distance, the enemy did not succeed. But the enemy succeeded because they came in contact with the people of Moab. Proximity gives you opportunity to do the wrong thing. Proximity. What the enemy cannot accomplish from the distance, if you stray away, from the leading and the guidance of the Spirit of God, there is an enemy assigned to take you out. They were so corrupted that one of the princes, actually a son of one of the priests, decides to bring one of these Moabites to the camp of Israel, a Midianite woman, brought her into the camp of Israel and took her right in front of everybody, right in front of Moses, paraded her into his tent and was fornicating with her and a priest, one of the sons. Of a priest, a son of Aaron, Phinehas, takes a javelin, walks into the tent, and pierces them through, both of them, pins them, and kills them right there. Meanwhile, the angel of the Lord is wiping out, I think about 40-something thousand, or close to that, no, 24,000 people. Were wiped out. People were dying because of the nonsense they were doing. Balaam could not curse them. The question we as the Church of Jesus Christ must ask ourselves is this. How is it that the enemy has been able to penetrate into our camp and cause God's people to begin to do the wrong thing? Because we start flourishing around with the world. The Word of God says, be ye separate. The church is not the world. The church is not the world. We're not meant to look like the world. We're not meant to corrupt ourselves to become like the world. We're meant to be God's people, a separated people unto God. That's what God called us to be. We're not called to dress like them. We're not called to act like them. We're not called to sing like them. We're not called to dance like them. We're not called to speak like them. We're not called to be anything like them. We're called to be light, not darkness. We're called to be the people of God, not the people of the world. But when we begin to frolic with the people of the world, then the diseases of the world will come into our lives. Believers dying from all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. When the promise of God is that the diseases of the world are not meant to come upon us. I know somebody's going to be upset with what I'm talking about right now. Pastor, how can you say such a thing? Well, it's not what I said, it's what God's Word says. And we need to ask ourselves the question, how is it that we are suffering the same things that the rest of the world are suffering? Why is it there is no separation between Egypt and Goshen? Why is it that there's no difference between them and us? No difference between darkness and light. That's a question I need to ask myself. That's a question you need to ask yourself. That's the question the church needs to ask herself. Why is it that there is just as much divorce in the world, and in some senses, even worse in the church. We have more divorces in church. But we are supposed to be the Christians. More immorality in the church. Why? Because we've joined ourselves with the world. We've joined ourselves to the world. Is the blessing of God what it is? Yes. Is it irreversible? Absolutely. It will always be there. But the manifestation of that blessing flowing freely and richly through our lives, that's a totally different story. And if the truth be said, we are lacking in that regard. In Psalm 125 and verse 3, Psalm 125 and verse 3, the word of God says, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. The rod of the wicked, the authority, the power, the control of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. Why? Lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. We must not allow the thinking, the mindset of the world to come into our lives. The world does not determine how we think. The Word of God determines how and what we think. The church, plagued with pornography like the rest of the world. How is that? How is that? We all need to be always careful. As I shared this morning, the law of gravity doesn't cease to exist when you take a flight. The law of lift supersedes the law of gravity, so you stay up in the air. As soon as you break the laws of lift, the law of gravity will pull you down. The laws of faith and life in the Holy Ghost must override the law of sin and death. It does not mean that the law of sin and death no longer exists because you are taking flight with the laws of faith and life, the laws of love and the authority and power of God. But as soon as you stop staying with the Word of God, the laws of sin and death will pull you down. As long as you are running and taking flight with the laws of lift, you don't have to struggle. There's no struggling. Even though the laws of gravity is still there, there's no struggle, because you are flowing and floating and flying with a law that supersedes the other. If you find yourself struggling in your walk with God, you must understand that you are not operating on the basis of the Word of God, on the basis of the laws of faith and love, the laws of life in the Holy Ghost. Once you're not floating and flying with that, the law of sin and death will begin to pull you down. You have to recalibrate. You have to work out what is needful to stay up there. It's a decision. It's a decision. It's a decision that you and I must make daily. How am I going to live my life now? What am I going to do? As we step into the new year, every one of us must make that decision. I am going to glorify God in my spirit, in my soul, in my body. I must not allow the rod of the wicked to rest on my lot. Because my hands are not going to be plugged into doing that which is evil. I'm not going to transgress. I'm not going to practice iniquity. I choose to follow God and pursue His ways. The statement is true in Numbers 23. It says, no enchantments are going to work against the people of Israel. Surely, there is no enchantment against Jacob. Neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what had God wrought? How is it that we're not able to penetrate and cause this people to fail? That will be the testimony. But the thing we must not do is attach ourselves to that which is evil. Because when you do, there will be corruption. There will be failure. In reaching the world, we are meant to be salt. We are meant to be light. We don't dim down the light so that they can be comfortable. We shine the light. We be the salt. We are what we are called to be. And the world needs to adjust to us, not we adjust to the world. We don't calibrate to the world. We calibrate to the Lord. And those that are willing and obedient follow. And those that don't want God are not going to want God. He says, many are called, but few are chosen. The agenda of God, please hear this, the agenda of God, while it is to save the whole world, is not to save the whole world at any cost outside the cost of the death of Jesus Christ. That is the greatest sacrifice. That's the perfect sacrifice. That's the only sacrifice. It is not the sacrifice of truth. Somebody asked me the other day, what will you do with this issue of transgender? I said, what am I supposed to do about that? It's wrong. He says, you know, there are churches in the States that are accepting transgender systems. And I said, anybody comes here to Glory and Peace with their transgender mindset, well, they would have come to the wrong address. So he said, wrong address? I said, yes, they would have come to the wrong address. Then he got it and he cracked up. He laughed so loud, this guy, you know, it's the big shot. The whole restaurant could hear. I don't know, no. I'm not compromising anything. I understand the hermaphrodites. I understand that. But you check yourself and find out, are you XX or XY? If you are XY, then be XY. If you are XX, then be XX. Don't tell me transgender what. No. There might have been a mistake. Some crazy stuff happened. And you have both sexes attached to you, whatever. But most of them are not like that. They have one sex. It became a fad and just become this. I am the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not called to accept your lie. God is not a man that lies. So that's it. I was born this way. Okay, we were born which way? Male, female, which one? I know somebody's upset. I'm speaking right publicly. This is not hate speech. There are people who've mutilated themselves and then found out, I did the wrong thing. Convinced. How do you decide that a five-year-old is this sex or that? Some devilish teacher or whatever, convincing our young ones to make decisions they have no presence of mind to make. I'll throw you in jail. When I get to the jail, I will preach to the people in jail. Nonsense. That's going to change me. Excuse me? Who gave birth to the monkey? The Word of God is the Word of God. That's our standard. It's not what the government legislated. Some marijuana dope smoking guy is seated in some. You know, the fault is ours because we yielded the seat of government. The Word of God says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And we left politics to some guy, some lady who doesn't know God, who legislates the things of the world, and now we're caught in the mess. We better get back. Get back to the politics. Get back. And say, no, not here. We're not doing that. If there's anything, you know, with Trump and all his shenanigans and stuff like that, if there's anything the church needs to learn, is this, that you can stand for something and pursue it and make a change. Just make a change. Just do it. For as long as we allow the rod of the wicked to rest upon our lot, we are going to put our hands doing that which is not of God. The promise of God is no enchantment, no divination. Nothing that they have to say. They can put themselves together. The only problem is this. When you allow wickedness to rest upon your life. The devil can talk all he wants to talk. Talk all the trash he wants to say and all of that. And it's not going to work on me. It's not going to work on you. The only time it works is when you go sleeping with it. Then you got a problem. Let's get off that place. of compromise and choose God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's all I believe the Lord wants me to say. Got myself into enough. I don't care. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your word. Help us, O God, to choose righteousness, truth, and pursue the ways of your glory. Thank you, Lord, that all the activities of the enemy are shut down and brought to naught, and your exalted name is exalted in us. For we rise up as that great lion and we cut down every enemy. For your grace abides with us, and it's in your name that we stand in righteousness and in truth, walking the walk of love, loving our neighbors as ourselves. We take every soil, the pathway, the soil filled with rocks, the thorn-infested soil. Lord, we intend by your grace to cultivate all soils and make them fertile, wholesome, good soil. Give us the boldness to do so. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, at this time, let us honor God with our giving. And while we're doing so, remind us, firstly, that this Wednesday is our crossover service. It's going to be at 9 p.m., but at 7 o'clock, we are going to have a pod blessing, and I trust that we will all support it and come together in fellowship. Todd, come here. Todd, come over here. I'll give you something. You're welcome. So, let's be here for 7 o'clock. From 7 to about 8:45, we will be fellowshipping together in the banquet hall. And at 9 o'clock, we will be here. And from here, we will continue into the new year. Times of prayer, intercession, prophetic word, declarations, expressions of thanksgiving for all God has done for us. And so that will be the last day of this year. We will honor God with our expressions of thanksgiving, not in, just in our words, but in our offerings unto God. Amen? So let's come and participate on that day and see what the Lord will do in us and with us. 2026 is going to be a great year for us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Paul to come and close in prayer for us and dismiss those that are watching online on YouTube and Facebook and other platforms, and say hello to those that are on Zoom.